Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and tonight we are recapping episode 2 of the challenge. It is not Alexa, it is Phil and John Millsap, one of our favorite patrons, of course, back for round 2. John, I did not dump you. I pulled a Natalie. I stuck tight with you. Did not go searching for a new partner. But hey, maybe after episode 2, maybe I'll pull a Kyle and just go hunting.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm super excited to be talking about this episode. We saw a major shakeup throughout this episode. We thought we had a new status quo happening in the challenge, and by the end of this episode, who knows what's going to happen next.
I got to say, man, like everybody always recommends, it's funny when you tell people you have a reality, first of all, you tell people you have a podcast, they make fun of you. Then you tell them you have a reality TV podcast and there's actually people you've spoken to, and then they get excited. But then immediately, if you say, I have a Survivor podcast, they say, well, you got to do Big Brother. You got to do The Amazing Race. You got to do this. I have openly said that I've watched enough of Big Brother to know I don't like it. And also, like, don't do any of that. Amazing Race just had one of the worst finales I've ever seen in, like, TV show history. It was so horrible. And I liked the season up until now, so that's what makes it even more disappointing. But I gotta say that this show is so entertaining, and I am 100% hooked. I thought that this was just going to be another one of those things that I was going to sit down and say, why? Why am I stuck watching the challenge? Like, I don't feel like jumping in, whatever. And I gotta say, it's phenomenal. It really is.
It is. And one was Stones just saying in the comments that there's no sound, Phil.
That might be on them. I don't think that's us. I mean, you hear me, right? Because I hear you.
I do hear you, and you hear me. So,
and I won't lie, I just accidentally clicked the YouTube thing, and it was playing loud in my ears while you were talking, so I missed half of what you said. But yeah, no, I think there's sound. Yeah, there we go. Okay, ZP Survivor says there's sound. But I got to say, man, like, this is so entertaining. And again, it goes back to, if you're an Amazing Race fan and you watch mine and Alexis recap of The Amazing Race, my biggest complaint was there was no complexity. It was the finale episode of one of the big three, in my opinion, big three reality TV shows. And I'm talking like, and obviously the challenge been around longer and all of that, but The Amazing Race is an Emmy winning show. It's like produced careers, and Phil Keoghan is one of the most famous people. I mean, I got TJ's last name wrong last week. I'm still going to get it wrong. So when I look at that, I'm like, there was no complexity. When I watch this, it's just mixed up, spun on its head in so many fun ways. And it doesn't feel like production is overdoing it. Production at the end of the day is saying, make a choice. You are left with making a decision. And they're saying that you can do that, but they're putting it in the hands of their players. And that is when TV, reality TV, is at its best, when it's in the hands of the players and they're given an interesting choice. Natalie, do you want to stick with Wes? Do you want to go with CT? Want to go with somebody else? Fessy and Anissa, who do you want to pick? Who are you going to put out there? And then tonight, Kyle, who are you going to take? He goes with Cam, which was amazing. But it's just this is what you like to watch when you're watching reality TV. And I just think they've nailed it so far through these first two episodes. Maybe the other seasons are this good, and maybe I should go back and watch them. But I'm loving this right now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's heading right into this fantastic season. We're being set up for some very interesting entertainment. Kyle's decision to go with Cam at the end of the episode completely breaks up everything that had happened in the past two episodes. So it'll be interesting to see where things go from here on out.
But I think it's a great move.
I also think it was a great move. It was absolutely the exact right move for Kyle to make there. What do you think of Natalie's decision to stick with Wes?
I think it was the best move. And like I said to you, I think it's the survivor move. And I said that on the last episode when we recapped episode 1. I think it's the survivor move. You have to kind of stick with what you got. And also, she probably went back and studied. Now, I don't know if Natalie was a big challenge fan before she went on this season or what, but she definitely went back and studied. And she probably knows Wes's type of game. And it seems like Wes and CT are kind of the people who play a little bit more of the social strategic games. She's got to know that Wes can dig himself out of a hole like this. You don't win this show without being able to dig yourself out of a hole or two. So like you said last week, if you're just good at challenges, they can't beat you. They can keep throwing you in and you just keep winning. And she knows in all likelihood, she just won. A man is going next. Worst case scenario, Wes goes up, he loses to Joseph, which obviously was never going to happen, or he possibly loses to somebody else, but she just ends up with another person, probably ends up with CT. So I think that it was the right move, And I think in this early in the game, I think it's absolutely smart. I think, though, at the end of the day, Kyle could have stuck with Nani, but I do think that it was the right move for him to go with somebody else, because you got to break up. You can't just let these pairs just keep on voting people in over and over and over. You got to put a little bit of risk on them.
Absolutely not. And especially with Nani going around saying she didn't want to be partnered with Kyle. Mm-hmm. And her reasoning for that was that they didn't play the same game. Which is interesting, because when Kyle picked Nani last week, he said it was because they play the same game. And they definitely do play very similar games when it comes to the challenge.
I'm kind of thinking that maybe they were playing this up a little bit and taking the clips they really wanted from Nani and putting them in this episode, because at the end of the day, she was going to end up with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Nani was definitely happy Kyle beat Joseph. And obviously Big T was rooting heavily against Joseph because she wanted to break up with Joseph. But Nani wasn't so desperate to get away from Kyle. She just felt it would be the right move. She was really trying to play it up to Fessy and try to get on Fessy's team, which, I will be completely honest, I think being on Fessy's team is the worst thing you can be on right now, because I think everybody in this house absolutely despises him and thinks that he is a not very nice word that gets said very often on MTV, which I'm shocked at.
Yeah. It does get said a lot, especially in this episode. We practically have TJ might as well have said it to Fessy in this elimination too.
And how do you, I mean, I don't know what is allowed. I always find it funny, and you know, we curse somewhat on this podcast. So I always find it funny when they bleep out hole when you say asshole. They bleep out hole, not ass. Now, ass is technically the curse there. Now, obviously, combining them gives a different meaning than ass. But why would you not bleep out ass and keep in whole? Like, I always find that hilarious. And it is funny to me the amount of times they bleep out, you know, the F word on this and all. But you tell somebody they pussied out and they're like, that is a verb and that is allowed to be used.
Yeah, it's wild that that's still happening. But it was thrown around a lot. People are not respecting Fessy's gameplay right now. Yeah. Despite the fact that I think Fessy and Anissa made a fantastic move today.
I think they made a fantastic move from what we see. Now, everybody else doesn't know Kyle lied. And I said, as soon as I was watching it, I literally said to myself, when Kyle said, I went against Wes and Anissa was sitting there, I said, Kyle's going to end up going against Big T and Joseph. Big T and Joseph are going to get voted in and it's going to be Kyle. Now, what would you do? You're Anissa and Fessy. You think they made the right move, but everybody else doesn't know that, you know, Kyle lied. So how do you kind of navigate that? Especially since right now, Anissa doesn't seem like she's taking as much heat, but Fessy especially is taking a lot of shit right now.
I think you have to admit, we see how you vote. Mm-hmm. You have to. And they hinted at it. They're like, we know Kyle lied to us, but it's not enough of an explanation. Someone's not going to pick up on that and figure out, oh, they must know how all of us voted.
Yeah, and that's where it becomes a little bit tricky, because you don't want everybody to know. Because if everybody knows, then like Jay for Leo and Gabby tonight, you might not be throwing around stray votes like that because you're concerned, well, how much do you know? And what if the person who's going in there is somebody I'm not aligned with, or they are somebody I'm aligned with, whatever it is. But it's almost like they need to be able to tell like Cam and Leroy and the people who are kind of controlling this house, Josh, because if you don't tell them, they're going to say, what is wrong with you, you cowards? And honestly, I do think Fessy's move tonight was cowardice, because there's no way Joseph's beating him in anything.
No, absolutely not. And if you see an empty arena with only a ring there, there are only so many things that it could be. And they almost all come back to exactly what this elimination challenge was. And Fessy could probably beat almost anyone in the house at that challenge.
It's all upper body strength. Yeah. That's all it is. Because I think about this challenge, like I would have done kind of what Joseph did. You try to go low, you use your, you know, almost like a football type mentality. That's how I would have gone about it. I have terrible shoulders. My shoulders pop out of place if I reach backwards too far. Yeah. This challenge, if Fessy goes, he's going to pop my arm out of its socket. I'm going to say, just let me leave. So there were six posts, three on each side and a ring. It's clearly get to your post. Like, it was so obvious. And for him to not do it, and then when he turns around and he says to Kyle, hey, Kyle, I wish I would have done it. And Kyle was like, oh, shut the F up. Yeah. I thought that was perfect, because seriously, dude, like, if you were going to do it, this was your chance to win a skull, because you're not going to lose to any of those. Not for nothing. Everybody looks scrawny next to Fessy. Everybody. Mm-hmm. You got to do it.
Yeah. And especially it's just taking that and putting Kyle in that situation. First off, doesn't guarantee that Joseph's going home. Kyle and Joseph had very similar builds. And it's just, it seems like one of those things, it's a layup challenge for Fessy. An absolute layup. You're going against the supposed worst competitor in this competition. What could it possibly have been at that Joseph would beat Fessy at?
Yeah.
And
unless he was just hula hooping the ring. Like.
Yeah. And he just decides instead, nah, we're just going to throw Kyle in there and just make more enemies because he wanted to make other people throw Wes and Natalie in.
It's cowardly, man. And, yeah. and that's why, like, you know, it's a male elimination. So if you're, you know, that if you're going in as Fessy too, and if you, you know, like you were saying, it's endurance based, then, you know, she, Anissa's not great at endurance. She's great at other things, but not endurance. So, you know, that it's a male only challenge. Get in there, do what you got to do, and steal somebody if that's what you want to do. Yeah. But if you go into this challenge and you wipe the floor with Joseph, as you would have, and honestly, I don't think Joseph wanted to be there. I'm going to be completely honest. I think he kind of really wanted to leave, but we can get to that in a little bit. But you go and you wipe the floor with Joseph. Perfect. Exactly what everybody expected you to do. And now the only one you pissed off is Joseph, who's gone. Because it's like, well, you should have put Wes in. Nah, didn't want to do it because I'm going to come in there and I'm going to show you, rookie, what's up. But instead to throw Kyle – And I guess warnings is a big thing in the challenge where they like to give them heads up. So Kyle is now angry at you. Half the other people on that podium are angry at you. And the people down in the crater are angry at you. And you're already a big threat. So they're going to do anything they can now to make you lose. Because earlier in the episode, we see this. Nobody's even attempting to screw them over in the ice spy challenge, which to me, I don't know how you feel about this. I thought it was a better version of the coconut challenges from Survivor, but I did hate how everybody was just standing there being like, well, what do we do? I thought that was annoying, and I thought it was great that Kyle started screaming at them.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Having them stand around in that challenge, just scared to make the first move against someone, is not hard for you to just talk to two other teams and be like, let's just throw them all on this person. They're out. Doesn't matter. It's a simple solution to that situation, and I'm really glad that the people who were already eliminated from the challenge were being incredibly vocal and calling them out for just doing nothing.
And that's what I didn't understand. Now, so you've watched more seasons of this than me because this is literally my second episode since it was Real World versus Road Rules. When you watch this, do you think that it was to pin Anissa and Fessy with the difficult decision, or had that not been chosen yet? And it really was everybody just being like, well, we don't want to piss off the Kings yet.
I feel like with the fact that they went after Wes right away. Yeah. Obvious choice. You don't want Wes winning the power because you know, he's on a warpath. They started taking out some of the rookie teams after that. And you look at it, it was just the fact, I think the only reason Fessy and Anissa really won this is because they happened not to have a shot when they got to that point in the game. Because no one had put one in there. If one of the eliminated teams had just put one in Anissa and Fessy's little holder there, they would have been out instantly because they already had a kill in there.
Yeah. And I was surprised Wes and Natalie didn't just do that as like a spite thing where it was like, you guys already won once. And I thought it was hilarious when Wes literally took Leroy's and just chucked it into the water and was like, you're that big of an idiot. You don't deserve this. And I don't know if they ended up letting Leroy put his in somewhere else or whatever it was. But I thought it was hilarious that Wes made that big of a deal out of it, because it is. It's like everybody is playing as aggressive as it feels like they're playing, because it's on MTV and they edit so that it feels like a Michael Bay movie, except it's a reality TV show. Like it's like, oh, extreme explosion. Like everything feels like it's a 10, even though a lot of this stuff is probably like a 4 or a 5. But they make it seem like everything is really intense. But if you really look at what's going on beneath the surface, it kind of feels like there's about 12 teams that are doing really nothing up until this point. And I think that what Kyle did tonight was essentially give the middle finger to all of them and say, if you're going to keep doing nothing, you don't deserve to be here. It's the 36th season of this show. And how many times have we all played this game before? Cut it out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what it came down to. And we saw that tentativeness in a lot of the people today. And the veterans, the people who have been there and done this over and over again, just aren't standing for it.
Yeah, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't, because it's annoying. Joseph doing what he did tonight. Look, I'm all for cockiness. I don't care. I think it's funny. Like, I'm entertained by that kind of thing. But Joseph doing what he did tonight, and then Natalie putting him in his place, because Natalie, even though she's not a challenge expert, she is a reality TV expert, and she knows how to manipulate. But her doing that, and Wes, and them all throwing him under the bus and kind of using it as an excuse, he's in over his head. And it was kind of shocking to me that they weren't kind of making it more known to some of these people earlier that they were in over their head and kind of giving them a little bit too much hope. That's all I'm saying. Like, I thought it was weird how this ice spy thing kind of went down, and that was a little BS.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it's one of those things when it comes to those challenges, those type of challenges where everyone can gang up on a certain person. The odd man out always gets out of those challenges first. They never have a chance of winning. There was no way Wes and Natalie were winning this.
No, absolutely not. No, and it's the same thing as all those. That's why Survivor did away with these types of challenges, because every time, granted, in the challenge, it doesn't mean as much because you still have to be voted in and then you still have to challenge and all that. But in Survivor, if you didn't win immunity, you just went home and they got tired of it being the same thing over and over and over and over again. So we knew they weren't going to win, but I was surprised. I mean, so this double agent concept, this is different. But is there normally like a head of house, for lack of a better term, or is this kind of new?
Yes. So there is normally either a pair or a team or an individual who is nominating someone to go into elimination.
Okay. And so do people normally let it be the same people back to back like this, or is this something totally new here?
It's not something that I've seen before. It was a really foreign concept for me to see that happen. And it doesn't really make sense. Like, the mentality they had behind it of, oh, this way we're not getting our hands dirty. They aren't thinking long-term enough in this case. And that's been, when we look at this alliance with that Cam's heading of trying to get these winners out, every time she opens her mouth, I just think of how short-sighted she's thinking. Because what happens when these three remaining winners in the house are out?
Yeah.
And it's just left. Yeah, there's three left. And two of them are Wes and CT, and the other's Terrell. Like, these aren't slouches. They're not just going to be eliminated every time you throw them into a challenge.
Yeah.
And it just seems so short-sighted. And it proved it today, because all of a sudden they're like, yeah, let's let Anissa and Fessy have this so they get their hands dirtier and we don't have to worry about it. That's not the way the challenge works. That is completely an underestimation of the social game of the challenge.
Yeah. And I totally agree. And like I wrote on my paper, Anissa and Fessy win again. Why? Because I feel like giving that much power to anybody, especially when they're playing for the Gold Skulls and they're playing, this is how you can run the final. Why are you giving that much power to Fessy, where, yes, Joseph puts his foot in his mouth and it's hilarious and it is what it is. But what if they did throw like somebody unexpected in? Now you have to go up against Fessy in that kind of challenge and you weren't expecting it. Why are you allowing that to even be an option? You know, that's kind of where it throws me off. Like, why in any type of reality TV show game would you want to give so much power to another player? It makes sense in Survivor with reward challenges, and I'm sure it makes sense in some aspects where, like, you don't want to make a big decision. But why are you giving so much power to a really strong duo when if they go up against you? Like, I don't want to give the power to Fessy, because if I have to go up against Fessy in anything, he's going to kill me. So I don't want to give him that power, because if for some reason I were to get nominated, I don't want to have to go up against him. I'd rather have somebody else up there. So it's just kind of mind-blowing to me. But, I mean, it ultimately looks like it's going to end up backfiring on Fessy, and Fessy is going to end up taking this, and it's going to hurt him, because it seems like everybody's just done with his BS, and it seems like he's playing a terrible, terrible social game.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I think the house got incredibly lucky that Fessy decided not to go into this elimination today, because they gave him that power. Layup of a gold skull to get, and the fact that he didn't get it, Fessy might not be able to compete in the final, because he might not get another chance to be in an elimination.
And so with these gold skulls, they can lose the gold skulls, right?
When they're eliminated.
So they can still get eliminated even though they have a gold skull. Like Natalie isn't safe. Kyle's not safe. They can still lose. And I wonder if those gold skulls would then be transferred to the person who beat them instead of a new gold skull being given so that there's always going to be 10.
I would imagine that would be what would happen. We're probably going to get to a point in this season where we start seeing the people who have already been in eliminations be re-put up in eliminations to help prevent more people from getting gold skulls.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, okay. So I want to take this a little bit more from the top. I know we've touched on a lot already, but let's go to the top here. Natalie stays with Wes and CT becomes a rogue agent. How do we feel about CT being a rogue agent here?
There are pros and cons to this rogue agent role. Obviously, big cons. You can't have the power that week. You can't possibly be the double agent because you can't compete in the daily. But you're also safe from elimination. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good place for CT to be on men's elimination where he just can't be thrown in again right away.
And that's where my biggest question comes from. First of all, how did they decide we're doing a woman first? And then how did they decide like, okay, CT, you got voted in first. And now actually like you getting voted in was the biggest reward while Ashley's at home eating a burrito. Like, how did they determine that? And look, I don't know if they go back and forth each season or whatever. I understand you got to kind of get it to an odd number in order for this to work. Otherwise it's never going to work. But for the first one, it surprises me. Like it would have been something different if it was like the third or fourth one or somewhere down the line, but clearly they want to introduce all these concepts right off the bat. CT kind of really lucked out the fact that he got thrown in the first time because he didn't have to beat Wes in a challenge and he just got to go back and he's safe for, I don't know how many days it is, but at least until the next thing. And now he's teamed up with Big T. And I mean, maybe they'll throw him in, but I don't see people being too terrified of CT and Big T right now, especially since they've kind of stayed out of the mess of the social interaction.
Yeah. And that's the big thing is, CT was clearly excited to get Big T as his partner today. And part of that comes down to the fact Big T has a killer social game. And we saw that tonight. Because, yes, Kyle and Devin and Wes were working on getting Joseph put into this elimination. But Big T also went around to all the women and was like, I don't want to be partnered with this guy anymore. Yeah. Put him in.
Yeah. And it worked. I mean, that's what I thought was funny is both of them were saying the same thing. Big T's like, please get rid of Joseph. And it's like a get out of jail free because she knows she's not in trouble. She knows that it's not going to be her and somebody else. So I don't know. And then Drew Harris just asked, and maybe you have the answer to this, John. Maybe you have an idea here. If it alternates every week between man and woman, will a woman ever be a free agent and be alone? I'm assuming there will probably be an elimination coming up of an entire pair, right?
Either that or a double elimination where two pairs go in. There'll be something that equals it out because in this case, yeah, Drew's completely right. It does seem a little unfair that that CT gets this week free and then Big T just gets paired up again right away. So there must be something coming down the line that's going to even that out a little bit. I just don't know what it could possibly be at this point.
Yeah, I almost feel like what they have to do is like we'll get like a pair versus a pair next week and a pair will go home. So we'll lose a man and a woman. And then maybe we lose a woman. Or I mean, then we lose a man and then we lose a woman and then we lose a pair and then we lose a man, a woman, and then we lose a. So it kind of alternates after a pair goes home. Then maybe the opposite sex goes home. But I don't know. I've never seen how this plays out, so I don't really know. But you know, it's crazy because while Big T was never in danger here and neither was CT, they're now paired up. They haven't had a chance to win a gold skull yet. They've had no shot. And so if you put a pair in there to go up against another pair and do they both get gold skulls? And now there's four gold skulls out of the 10 and we're only 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah. I don't know. There could be very different things. The other thing is technically it didn't have to be a man's elimination this week. We don't know that that's the structure. That was the cast completely assuming that was what was going to happen. So Big T could have been putting herself in danger by going along with throw Joseph in by just assuming it's going to be a men's elimination.
Well, and one thing I was wondering and maybe I'm just reading too far into it, but he keeps saying pick anybody from a pair. Can men pick men and women pick women? I guess not, but he just keeps saying pick anybody.
Oh, sorry, can you just clarify just a little bit? Like,
so like when he said to Natalie, he was like, Natalie, pick any partner from a pair. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, could Natalie just be like, well, I want to take Nicole. And I'm going to take Nicole and I'm going to be part of a Nicole.
I think it has to be of the opposite gender. They prefer having pairs in opposite genders.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe they could take one of the same gender. Maybe that's something that plays out later in the season.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But they obviously want opposite genders because, one, this is on MTV. And then, two, it leads to beautiful things such as Nam working out while The Cure is playing. And Lolo and him now have millions of dollars and love. Yes. What do we think about the Lolo and Nam relationship? Because personally, I love it.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. I think Nam was a fantastic find by casting for this show. He's hilarious. And maybe part of that just comes down from like things being lost in translation. Mm-hmm. Hilarious guy. Incredibly good looking. So much so that we had to have two separate segments in tonight's episode just discussing how hot Nam is.
Yeah.
And I mean, Olo's an Olympic athlete. And seeing a pair like that partner up is crazy. Like, that's something really, really strong. It could lead to more drama down the way. Also, Kyle even mentioned, how are you going to like it when I steal your partner from you?
Yeah. Yeah. And so Lolo is 38 years old. I don't know how. I think Nam's only like 23 or something like that. Both incredibly good looking. And I love the way that this is playing out because I think they're getting more caught up in the actual love interest romantic thing. And they're totally missing that by them leaning into this really hard, Kyle could have easily turned around and said, I'm taking Lolo. Now, granted, that would have been a weak move, I think, because it's too early and you need to break up these really powerful pairs. Mm-hmm. But he could have easily done that. And now Nam is with Big T or Nam is with Nani, and it's nowhere near as compelling as Nam and Lolo.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, we got the good TV aspect of it with Kyle's decision in the end to take Cam. But it is a risk. And when you're leaning into this romantic relationship and you're becoming closer partners, it's risky. We had Joseph talking. There was that big fight between Joseph and Big T where they were discussing like who they trust, and the fact that Big T trusts Wes more than Joseph. And if you have a pair that's incredibly close, that's trusting each other, it makes sense to break them up.
Yeah, absolutely. Because then they have too much power, because especially with the way the voting is working, even though you're a pair, you get two votes. So you're not necessarily voting with the other member of your pair, but if you're getting along with your pair, now it's two votes and you're probably involved in the same conversations that they're involved in, you know? So like Big T even said, I don't even know what Joseph's doing. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going on. I get it. Like, so Joseph's not involved in any of those conversations because they don't get along. You better believe Big T and CT are going to be working it, and they're going to have a plan as to how they're working it. So I think that's really big. Now, granted, it seems like everybody gets along with Nam. It seems like Nam's a really witty, fun guy. It seems like everybody's all about him and Lolo and them being together and doing whatever it is that they're doing. But maybe people don't want to take Nam quite as quickly or take Lolo quite as quickly because they don't really know the social game that either one of them is playing at the moment.
And that's the other thing, right? In the end of the day, they're both still rookies.
Yeah.
So how much do you want to leave of that to go with a rookie instead?
Yeah. That's where I think it hurts. I think it helps and hurts them. I think that Nam and Lolo are being seasoned to become new faces of this show. Because, I mean, especially with Lolo, like, I don't know what the average age on the show is or anything like that. But if Lolo Jones is going to look the way she does and be as athletic as she is, and she's 38 years old, they're going to want her on the show until she's 45, 46, 47, because they don't have women like that on this show. Like, they really don't. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the oldest woman on the show is. I don't even know if it actually is Lolo, but I got to assume it is, because it looks like we're watching a bunch of 20 somethings walk around and hang out. So you want a little bit of age diversity there in some way. But also, if you can get somebody who doesn't seem at all like they're older, great. And Lolo feels like built for this kind of thing. Like, this seems like exactly what 38-year-old Lolo Jones should be doing. And I really think that Nam is exactly the kind of thing they want, where it's a little bit of like appearances are deceiving, where you're like, oh, he's foreign. You know, is it, you know, what is he saying? We don't know. And then, you know, he's got the body and all that, but then it turns out that he's actually an incredibly, incredibly smart guy. So, mm-hmm. How do we play it? And Lolo's kind of running around like, I mean, when she was doing the scene where she's talking to Jay and I think Devin, or maybe it was, I forget who it was, but I was dying because I'm just like, what? It's like a high school dance. It's like an awkward homecoming where nobody's doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just that conversation of, no, he's the guy. He can make the first move. And it's like, how old are we?
Yeah.
We're adults here, right? You can just like go for this now.
Well, I mean, Lolo is, and this is all over her Twitter and everything, from what I see, Lolo is like openly a virgin at 38. So I think that could also play into it. I mean, I don't know if she's dated or, I mean, track and field cross country athletes are the weirdest people in the world. And I can say that confidently because I was one for numerous, numerous years. And when you get into that, I mean, you're at the college level, like you, when you're on a cross country or a track team, you don't go out and party because that's what you're doing. So like, especially as an Olympian and stuff, like you're, that's your life. That's what you're focused on. So I don't know what her other things are, but maybe the whole dating, flirting thing she's never really done it, you know? And now you have Nam, who is probably like, if this lady wants me, if this old, what is it? Old cougar wants me, she can come over here. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm not getting up.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Also, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how it unfolds moving forward.
I agree. And it also cracks me up that I think Jay's 33 or something like that. Like, it blows my mind that he's even as old as he is, because Jay, watching him go around, it's like he still feels like he's at the high school dance too. Oh, yeah. All right, let's talk about some of these pairings now, because it has been, you know, now we've had 2 weeks, we got a little bit of it under our belts, and then we'll kind of get into our last thoughts here, but I feel like we'll take a little bit of time here on this. So we have lost Ashley and we have lost Joseph. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the three new teams first, because I feel like, you know, interesting to see how this move forward. Kyle and Cam. Cam was clearly not excited to be chosen by Kyle, but Kyle also wasn't very excited to be chosen to go into the pit. How do we feel about this Kyle and Cam duo? Is this going to be short-lived, long-lived? Are people going to try to get one of them out? Like, what do you think is going to happen with this?
It's a tough one. Kyle definitely has shown he has this social game to him. He's playing that social game. Cam is really going to depend how Cam adjusts to this change, I feel. Because Cam had her plan before. That plan's completely out of the water now. Yeah. Because if Cam and Kyle just don't agree on anything, it's making it harder for her to get these numbers together to vote out the people she wants. Both of them are still strong competitors, so it's another strong team. Cam is not someone who I wouldn't want on my team. And even we saw CT groveling to her at the front of the episode too, where he just goes in and is like, mm-hmm. I made a wrong decision. Let's get over this. Ken's clearly not over it, mm-hmm. but she might have to now, because Kyle's more in CT's wheelhouse than he is in Cam's wheelhouse.
Yeah, I totally. And I think that Kyle, see, I think this hurts Cam too, because if Kyle isn't going to do everything that Cam wants to do and isn't going to go along with all that, Kyle's too outspoken. Kyle's loud. Kyle's in your face with everything. And now Kyle's pissed off. And Kyle feels like he finally has a little bit of control and a little bit of power. I feel like Kyle's the worst person she could be stuck with right now, at least for the game she was playing, because not only does it flip everything on its head, she's also teamed up with somebody who, if she tries to pull anything on him, he's going to call her out immediately. The one thing that's going to hurt Kyle is the fact that if Cam does go to Anissa and Fessy and start complaining, all that they need to do is say, look, Kyle didn't vote with you. And now if Cam can keep that somewhat to herself and not let Kyle catch wind of it, that would be great. But based on how I've seen Cam interact and based on how I've seen the challenge work so far, I doubt that anybody's going to keep a secret for more than 3 seconds. So,
yeah, very unlikely. Plus, why is Cam going after all these male winners? she's gotten the female winner out. She's not going to have to compete against the male winner in the end.
Maybe she wants Leroy to win.
Yeah, but if that's the case, why is she jeopardizing her own game for that?
Yeah, I agree. I agree because Kyle picked Cam because he sees that Cam is running it. Yeah. And you always want to take the person who's running it because now if they want to say, well, Kyle, we want to throw you back in again, it's like, well, you have to throw me in with Cam. Mm-hmm. And if it, you don't know if it's going to be a double elimination or whatever, it's got a pair elimination or whatever. So I like that. I think that was a great move by Kyle. I thought it was really awesome. So now Cam, partner Josh ends up being alone. Josh was pretty quiet this episode. And now Josh goes with Nani, picks Nani over Big T. I thought this was a pretty obvious pick. I thought that was a pretty clear choice to go with Nani. It seems like Nani's a little bit stronger, a little bit more in it. What do we think about Josh and Nani as a pairing?
It's kind of your basic, like, mediocre challenge pairing. Nani's performed well in the past. Josh is okay. Mm-hmm. But they do have that personal connection. Mm-hmm. They made that very clear, that they're best friends. So at least they know they're going to be getting along with each other.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, Nani wanted to get away from Kyle anyways.
Yeah.
So Nani's going to be happy in the situation. But the other thing that was really interesting was that Josh also voted for Joseph to be put into elimination.
Yeah.
He was one of the names they mentioned. So that was someone who voted against Cam in that situation. So
I'm very confused by Josh. I don't feel like I know Josh at all yet, so I'm having a hard time with it. I feel like I know Nani a little bit better, but maybe that's because I was a little more focused on Kyle tonight because I could just see the way the cards were turning. But in terms of Josh, I really just don't feel like I know him yet, so I don't really know what I'm getting from him yet. I thought his choice to pick Nani was smart, but also, like, why did he vote against Cam tonight? Like, I don't understand what his reasoning was at all, why he did that.
Yeah, it's a tough call. Who knows what's going to happen with that? I would way rather see, let's get Big Brother winner Josh out here, because we're not seeing that from him. Let's get him upping his social game, working harder, and let's see more of Josh, because until we do, he's just kind of there. He's a very large man, but he's not proving anything at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the last new pair is CT and Big T. You kind of talked about a little bit of this off the top, but you seem to really like this pair.
CT needed someone who has a good social game. Big T has those connections. She is a really underestimated player. She's a very strong player still. She's small, which people underestimate her for. But like CT was saying, she has heart, and she is going to give it everything she has every single time. So I think it's a fantastic partnership for CT. Mm-hmm. And it's a great to get him back in and give him a better chance of winning this game.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. I think I agree. I totally agree. So the next, okay. So first, before we go to the other pairs, cause I do want to talk about some of these, cause I feel like there's a lot I don't know, but Patrick Miller says, what happens if Fessy and Anissa have different picks for who does the main challenge? Do they go themselves, or are they just told to pick the same person beforehand? Do you know what the deal is with this?
It depends on the situation. Really, we're not going to know the real answer until it happens. Generally, what happens in a tie situation is that the people who they'll get a chance to change their vote, and then if they're still tied, they go in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So most of the time, somebody normally whoever would go second would probably give in because they don't want to go in. Or in this case, Anissa might say, "I'm still not going to change my vote because I know I'm not in danger tonight."
Yeah. Exactly. So we'll have to wait and see if it happens at some point in the season, because like Wes was saying at one point, there are some pairs who are not getting along with each other and not willing to work with each other. So,
yeah. Yeah. And so let's talk about one of those pairs right off the bat. Poor Devin hasn't understood a word that's been said the entire season so far. Devin and Nicole. Nicole, I still am kind of iffy on. I still don't really get the appeal here, but then again, it's still new. But Devin said he hasn't understood her, and she's sitting there talking to Natalie, and I didn't understand a word she said, which was hilarious. What do we think about Devin and Nicole? Because Devin was sitting there with Kyle when they were planting the seed about trying to get rid of Joseph. So Devin, I kind of could see was a snake because he has to kind of, I always go back to the show Spartacus. I don't know if you ever watched the show of that, but there was a character Asher who was never as strong as the gladiators, but man, he killed more than any of the gladiators killed because he was kind of like this Devin behind the scenes. I'll put all your necks out there. Mm-hmm. What do we think about Devin and Nicole?
We haven't seen much of them. We know Devin's strength is his social game. He proved that tonight. Nicole is a strong competitor, despite being hard to understand, despite being a – oh, what did Devin say she was?
I don't know if I wrote that down.
My partner is an incredibly fit infant. Because she is incredibly fit. She's a very strong competitor. But if he can't understand her, what's he going to do? They can't work together.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point. I mean, yeah, so like when I start looking at some of these, like I look at Leo and Gabby, you know, like Leo is strong, but Gabby doesn't have anything there. And she, you know, when they were swimming out to try to get the ice thing, Gabby can't even swim. No. So like what is, and this is like a different kind of understanding. Like Leo can go back and help her and do all of that, but kind of the same way where Devin and Nicole can't really work together. How is Leo going to be able to do anything with Gabby, especially since it feels like if one of these stronger women, a Cam or Lolo or a Natalie, well, Natalie already has one, but if one of these stronger women want to get a gold skull, man, anytime Gabby and anytime they become double agents, they're going to say, let's please put Leo and Gabby down there because Gabby can't beat any of us in anything. She can't even swim.
That would be what I would be doing in their situation. Yeah. Gabby's the first person I put in there to try and eliminate. Maybe, she has to have something that brought her into this game. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see. Maybe she'll surprise us later on. But right now, she seems like one of the weakest women.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just a couple other quick ones that I don't really know what's going on, and maybe you've seen something that I haven't. Tori and now the reason I'm doing this because there's 28 people still left in the game, and I feel like it's a lot to keep track of. So I want to let everybody else know that, yes, we are still as in the dark or still figuring out. Tori and Corey.
Didn't get much from them today. Wes was calling them out for going after Wes right away. Corey was incredibly upset with what happened when Fessy threw Kyle in instead of Wes. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We're going to start seeing relationships starting to deteriorate based on these little decisions everyone's making. And it's going to be interesting to see how Fessy and Anissa navigate that with the knowledge that, hey, we see your vote, so we know what's going on. Because right now, their decision doesn't make sense to a lot of people. And because of that, that's going to be what's driving Corey at this point. So hopefully we find out more of how he reacts to that next week. But right now they're kind of laying low. They're both Corey and Tori are both strong competitors. So we'll see what happens.
And since we talked a lot about Anissa and Fessy, do you think this is a duo that's going to stick to, like, that's going to end up staying together? Or do you think that somebody's going to eventually poach one of them or that they're going to get thrown down there at some point, maybe win something and try to poach somebody else? Like, what are you thinking about that?
For now? Well, I think Fessy's the number one target for most of the females. Mm-hmm. They made that really clear. Nani was trying to convince him to take her. And I think they also see that Fessy still doesn't want to be partnered with Anissa in the end. Mm-hmm. For now, they're getting along, which is a big thing for them. But once we get further into this game and it's getting closer to a final and you're going to be partnered with the person you're running that final with, he's going to get rid of her as fast as possible.
Yeah. So now you had mentioned that Darrell was really, that he was a former winner and that he was good at this.
Darrell holds the record for most consecutive challenge wins with 4.
You mentioned that last week too, and I'm still confused. So Darrell and Amber B, what is going on with this duo? Because I don't feel like they've said anything so far.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything. One of the best things with challenge editing is they'll pick it up once we get further on. The editing for these pairs do become bigger once they become more relevant. If they're not really doing anything, they kind of just sit in the background.
Which I do like because there are, I mean, you know what, like as long as they do pick up, like I don't want a Chelsea edit, but I would like to see something where, you know, eventually I start to get to know them a little bit. Cause right now, I mean, it also makes sense. The focal points of this show so far have been Fessy and Anissa, Wes, CT, Natalie, Cam, Leroy a little bit to some extent. So Leroy and Casey, I feel like I don't know anything about Casey, but Leroy's doing stuff. Like Leroy's really a part of this. I love, you know, like the game that Leroy's playing, but I don't know anything about Casey right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, we didn't even see Casey until this random confessional at the end of the episode.
That was her. Okay, see, because I literally was like, who is that? Like, did I just miss it? And is that actually Liv? And they just don't have the name up there, because her and Liv have like a little bit of a similar look with like the pullback hair and stuff. And I was like, is that just Liv? But I was like, that doesn't look like total. I didn't even realize that was Casey.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens with them. Right now, there are just so many cast members. We're just not going to see everyone throughout every episode.
Which is why, you know, doing a little touch up reminder, a little quick one. Amber M and Nelson, all we really heard tonight. I still don't really know who Amber M is, but Nelson is now Scubanelli after being all those nicknames last week. Is there anything that Amber M and Nelson are going to do, or is it just going to be nicknames and eventually they're just going to go home and we're not going to feel any emotion?
We'll see. Nelson's done a lot of these challenges. He has connections. He's tight with the Big Brother people. He's tight with Corey. So his social game might carry him a little bit further. He's a decent competitor. It depends what Amber's going to do.
Yeah. Michi and Liv. Michi was the one who had to get pulled from the water today because what did he have? He started having like early onset hypothermia. Like what was going on with that?
It sounded because he was saying he couldn't move anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's either that or he was like cramping, but something was happening and he was not reacting well to being in an Icelandic glacier.
Maybe he should have had mustard before he went out there and then he wouldn't have cramped.
Maybe.
But yeah, I thought like that was really all we got from him. He had a couple confessionals. Liv had a little bit in there, but we don't really know how they're doing as a duo. First of all, that challenge looked terrible with the cold. I know they're in wetsuits, but your hands aren't in wetsuits and your face isn't in a wetsuit. So that sucks. But he was really struggling and like they actually had to give him a medical DQ, which it's good to know that that's a thing they do. But also like, I wonder what was really going on with him because he cramped up or did whatever very, very quickly. And obviously you don't want to be in water when that's going on because only bad things can happen.
Yeah. He was in a situation where, and when all of a sudden we see someone being pulled out of the water, it's like, oh, it must be Gabby who was already struggling and swimming, and to see that it's someone else. It's a scary thing to see. And it does happen sometimes. They're incredibly arduous tasks sometimes. I mean, we saw Kyle vomiting after the elimination today,
which also like what a bummer. We get the freaking, they've been using it in every ad of he's throwing up blood and then it's immediately cut with no, that's just his dinner from tonight or something. And I'm like, oh, so everything we've been seeing in these challenge ads for the last, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it's all just built up to literally the second episode where he just throws up his dinner.
Yeah,
not nearly as terrible. Although it does look like there's an ambulance in next week's episode. So
it does, and it also looks like a lot of drama next week. So
yeah, well, it looks like we might be getting some fisticuffs next week. It looks like we might be having some brawl go down. Which hey, that might answer Patrick Miller's question, or not Patrick Miller's, Drew Harris's question. It might just end up where there's somebody ends up getting pulled from the game for hitting somebody or something. Cause it does look like there's going to be a lot of screaming going on. And it looks like the experts at this game know how to troll people into submission. Like it just seems like they really know how to push buttons, like the Wes's and the Kyle's and the CT's. And I think to an extent, like Leo's already there, even though he's new, I think that there's, you know how to push buttons. Cam knows how to push buttons. I'm really curious to see how that's going to end up playing out next week, but we'll get there. Wes and Natalie, it seems like they kind of got saved a little bit this week. Do we think that this is still going to be a thing moving forward now? Are they a little bit in the clear now that Kyle kind of broke up this alliance, or are they going to go immediately back to being screwed?
Wes needed time. He made his janitor pitch today, which was great until he started swinging for the CEO position.
Yeah, you don't do that when you go for a janitor role.
But going in there and saying, hey, listen, there are teams here who are not going to cooperate with you. Why are you putting someone who's willing to work with you in instead of these teams? It was a good pitch until he was like, you can let me be in charge. That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know why he did that. I mean, and granted, it still worked because people wanted Joseph out more, but it's not the correct move there. And then last one, Teresa and Jay, we see them go to Leo and Gabby in the knockout game. And then Jay actually does vote for Leo and Gabby and says, there's a war going on between two sides that I don't want to be a part of. Yeah. Sounds like a very Survivor move to me. Doesn't seem like much of a challenge type move. Didn't hear too much from Teresa regarding it. What do we think about this?
Throwaway votes are pretty common in the challenge.
Okay.
Where someone will be like, I'm just going to throw your name out. And of course, when you think that you're steeped in anonymity, why not? Mm-hmm. Right? I don't want to get involved. Now I can honestly say, no, I didn't vote for you.
Yeah.
No matter what the outcome is, right?
Yeah.
We'll see if that comes to bite him later, but who knows?
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, because the one thing is, even though they know who voted for the team that goes in, the majority, they don't know who didn't. Like, they know who didn't, but they don't know who those people who didn't actually voted for. So they don't know that Jay voted for Leo and Gabby. They just know that Jay did not vote for Big T and Joseph. They could be sitting there saying, okay, good, Jay's still on our good side. He voted for Wes and Natalie, and we just don't know it. Now, obviously, I think it's pretty obvious that Jay wouldn't vote for Natalie, not this early in the game, considering, but you know, that seems to be something that's, you know, right there at the forefront.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, it almost seems like it was thinking further ahead to where Jay knew that the double agents saw the votes that the nominator gets and knew that by throwing his vote away, it would show that he was kind of on the same page as them. But of course he didn't, and he just gets a little lucky with that.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think, I'm not going to try to, because he's a Survivor player, act like, oh, Jay knew what was coming. I don't think he did. I think you're right. I think he just got absolutely lucky with this whole thing. But that's where all the teams kind of are at right now. And I feel like you have like five teams that are like really at the forefront. You got like four or five teams that are kind of like there, but we don't know them too well. And then I would say that there's like three or four teams where you're just like, ah, they're there. Like there's a team, there's bodies. I mean,
they might exist. We aren't seeing them, but I'm sure as they become more relevant throughout the season, we will start seeing them. Their edits will start picking up. We'll get an idea of how they're interacting within the house.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I hope so. But so far, I'm absolutely loving this. And I'm really curious. I think what's fun a little bit now, and it was one of my big worries as I discussed last week, but I think what's fun right now is that we don't really know everything that's going to happen. And I think the unexpected is so refreshing because, you know, doing the Survivor podcast as my main podcast, I know what's going to happen every week on Survivor. I know when there's going to be idols because people find idols. I know when there's going to be whatever, like twists, you know, when it's all coming. And I feel like what's kind of refreshing about this is it almost has that same feel as when there was a tribe swap in the first in Survivor Africa, or when there was some sort of idol in Survivor Guatemala or Exile Island in Palau or in Panama. Like, I feel like that is fun and that's exciting because you're like, I don't really know. I mean, when we just rewatched Survivor China, watching James get voted out the first time is like, oh my God, I did not see that coming. I haven't felt that surprise probably since Bing. And even Bing, I mean, that's four seasons ago. And then there was seasons before that since you felt that. I feel like what's kind of cool about this is that you don't know everything. So there is a bit of unpredictability. And I think shows get a little scared of that sometimes, where they almost feel like unpredictability is a bad thing. When in reality, people don't need to know every, there's a reason why people watch sports so often. It's because you don't know. You really have no idea. And that's why people bet on sports, because you don't know. So yeah, that's just what I think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree. It's one of the driving things of the challenge is, it's okay not to know what's happening because I'm going to come back next week because I need to know what happens. It makes sense. It's compelling television that way.
Yeah. And is it on next week? I know CBS wouldn't do anything on Christmas week, but is the challenge on next week?
I'll have to double check.
I think it said next week on, but I'm not, I could be wrong, but I think it did.
I think so.
I mean, it's on MTV. I'm sure Wednesday before Christmas. It's not like it's Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or anything like that. It is still just a random Wednesday before Christmas. But yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm a big fan of what we're watching so far. I'm really enjoying it. Is there anything else we didn't cover here that you wanted to touch on?
Not that I can think of. We hit most of it. We had some killer quotes again today. Again, something like CT telling Cam that he wasn't ready for that commitment to her.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Wes, of course, they awoke sleeping dragons. Mm-hmm. And then we also had that weird scene where Joseph was doing his exercises on the couch.
That was so fun. And I will tell you this, man. Look, I don't know if you do ab workouts. I mean, whatever. I used to do some. But doing those little things like that, if you're really doing like 100, even though it's small, hurts so much. Yeah. And I love that they were making fun of him because, like, what I always love about, like, the – it's kind of the MTV crowd. It's like kind of a frat boy type crowd.
Yeah.
And it's like, but look, I could pick up big things and I could put them down. And it's like, okay, but like I could go like run a mile faster than you could drive your car for a mile. So yeah. Like, what are you talking about? You know, like it's those kind of things where it's like, but look at my muscles. And it's like, okay, that's cool. But like, what can you do with those muscles? Yes, you can bench press, but like, when are you going to really impress me with your bench press? Like it's just, it's one of those. And like, What Joseph was doing is definitely like more of like a motocross type athlete type thing where it's like, hey, it's very little. I don't want to actually bulk up too much, but I'm going to be fit and I could probably out muscle. And I honestly think he did pretty well tonight. I just think I do think this was an instance of, because he was a rookie, it really hurt him tonight, because Kyle might not have even been stronger than him. He just knew the fundamentals of, this is how I can win this challenge.
And then on top of that, Joseph had no one rooting for him at all.
No one.
You just get in there and you hear people yelling for Kyle to break his arm and to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph has that confessional midway through. He's like, what did I get into?
Yeah. I know. And I honestly don't feel like Joseph wanted to be there. I really don't. I feel like I don't think that this was what he thought it was going to be. I don't think he enjoyed it as much as he thought he was going to enjoy it. And I think that he was like, well, if I beat him, I beat him. If I don't, I don't. I don't really care. I don't think he's going to go home and be upset about it. I don't think he cares. I mean, if you're not enjoying the party aspect of it, if you're not enjoying the actual social aspect of it, and you're not enjoying the working out aspect of it, why are you there? Like, it just seemed like he was just like, I don't want to be here. Just do whatever I have to do. If I make it, I make it. If I don't, great. I just want to go home.
At least he was entertaining while doing it.
I agree. I thought he was fun. I was actually kind of rooting for him. I do like Kyle a lot, but I was kind of like, it would be funny to watch Joseph win this. That would be entertaining.
Yeah, for sure. So,
well, that's all I got. I think that's a good way to wrap it up. What episode 3 will be next week, as far as we know. John, I'll probably just keep on bringing it back. Don't tell anybody until something happens. But as long as you're around, as long as you're there, and then we'll see what happens. But I don't know who else is following it as closely. We'll have to see. But this has been a lot of fun. I'm very happy that the Amazing Race is over. One, because that opens up a lot more time for me. But two, because that was the worst finale. And I feel bad for Will and James. And I feel really bad for like Riley and Madison and Hung and Chi. Because all three of them are, those duos are very entertaining. But holy shit, that was so boring. I mean, to put it in challenge terms, John, the Amazing Race pussied out. That was awful. It was so bad. I hated it. And I'm happy it's over, because that means that the challenge now will be able to recap right after the East Coast actual airing. So we won't have these random ass. It's Thursday morning for me now. I know, John, you're out on the West Coast, so it doesn't matter. But it's Thursday morning for me. I'm very excited to just be doing it. And it looks like, are these episodes always going to be an hour and a half?
I think they've made it more of an hour and a half lately. With 30 people on the season, it makes sense to be an hour and a half. It's what we want for Survivor, right? So let's embrace a channel that's willing to actually give us an hour and a half of a show.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm totally into it. So probably be back next week at 9:30 Eastern time, or whatever time it would end up being, 9:35, something along those lines. But this has been a lot of fun, John. I love that you know this game, because I have no clue what's going on, but I'm really enjoying it. And it's good that you could kind of bring me back to earth sometimes. If you haven't listened to our Amazing Race recap finale with Alexa, go and listen to his bitch for a really long time. Looks like we're going to be able to have Haley and Kaylin on. They already reached back out to us and said that they'd be down, which would be a dream come true for me, because I love the Blonde Bandits. I think they're so entertaining. And honestly, with what a cluster cuss this finale was, the Blonde Bandits should be our first guest. But all that's great. This has been really fun. Go check out Patreon, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. It's kind of a weak November after a really, really busy June all the way through to October. Start to pick up again in January. Trust me, I've driven 6,000 miles in my car over the last 14 days. And I'm about to have to drive back to, well, I won't have to about to, but in January, I'm gonna be driving back to Miami from New Jersey again. And it's just been insane. It's been so much. So it will start to get a little bit more normal. It will start to be a little bit more crazy, fun things going on. But either way, even if you just want to be a dollar patron for now, John is like king of the face, the patron group or whatever. I don't know who's actually the king, but I'll give it to you, John, because you're sitting there. But they do all these like watch parties, game nights, whatever you want to do. And, you know, you get the content from Alexa and I, and it's fun, and it'll be a lot more fun as things start to open back up and shows start coming back. All that being said, John, thanks for being here. Great time recapping episode 2. We will see you next week with the episode 3 recap of The Challenge.